Psychologist Stephen Reisner is an outspoken critic of those in his profession who participated in coercive interrogations, or torture, which he says is defined as treatment that injures a prisoner for the purpose of extracting information. Reisner maintains that torture takes many forms, but that emotional and psychological techniques, such as sleep deprivation, isolation, and humiliation, leave more serious, though invisible, scars than the physical tactics that are usually thought of as torture, such as applying electric shocks or waterboarding. In early April, he appeared in New York District Court to press his complaint against fellow psychologist Army Major John Liso, who Reisner accused of unethical conduct for his role in the torture of prisoners at the U.S. military's Guantanamo Bay Detention Center in Cuba. The complaint accused Liso of recommending the interrogation methods employed against Mohammed al-Qahtani, an alleged 9/11 conspirator, that Reisner says included forced hydration, induced hypothermia, 20-hour interrogations, forced nudity, and religious disgrace. The complaint, which charges Liso of violating New York State professional standards, was supported by the New York Civil Liberties Union and the Center for Justice and Accountability. The Pentagon didn't respond to a request for comment on Reisner's complaint against Major Liso. Between the Lines, Melinda Tuhus spoke with Stephen Reisner about torture and what he believes to be the ethical position a psychologist should hold regarding the issue.
I can tell you from having treated torture survivors that the non-physical forms of torture have a much more traumatizing and long-lasting effect than the physical forms of torture. So when you put electrodes on somebody, or you give them a bunch of little cuts, or you beat them up, it's terrible. But they don't have as hard a time being able to talk about having been tortured than when they've been humiliated or have gone crazy or have put in stress positions, which makes them feel that if only they hadn't moved in just this position, it wouldn't have hurt so much and they could have avoided talking. The psychological pressures that lead to people to break, the research shows that they have much longer-lasting scars and effects on people than the physical tortures.
Would you say that since Bradley Manning, the alleged whistleblower in the WikiLeaks case, is kept in isolation 23 hours a day, or any prisoner for that matter, is kept in isolation, that's torture?
Yep.
And the isolation alone, even if no other factors are present, has a really horrible detrimental effect for years afterward?
Not necessarily. That depends on the character of the person. I mean, some people don't get traumatized. There are certain things that we've all decided over the centuries are wrong. And abusing prisoners as punishment or to get information from them is, universally condemned, except at certain periods in time by certain regimes that until the Bush administration, our government joined in condemning.
Stephen Reisner, isn't it true that the American Medical Association and the American Psychiatric Association prohibit their members from being involved in coercive interrogations? What's the difference between these two groups and the American Psychological Association?
The difference is that the American Medical Association, the American Psychiatric Association, follow the World Medical Association. They basically say that the role of a health practitioner is to help people and not hurt people. It's based on the basic ethical principle of do no harm. And the American Psychological Association has decided that their people can participate in coercive interrogations whose aim is to cause prisoners to speak against their will. And the American Psychological Association has joined the Justice Department under the Bush administration in deciding that the same standards that would apply to any interrogator should apply to a psychologist. And that's different than other health professionals. The other health professionals see themselves first as a health professional. The American Psychological Association has created a new category of operational psychologist and have basically joined with the military in, saying that clinical psychologists can be military combatants whose aim is to debilitate the enemy, get information, and use people as if we're at war with them, to undermine their mental and physical state if it helps the war effort. The story is that I have brought a ethics case against John Lesso, Major John Lesso, who was one of the health professionals at Guantanamo on the team that created the torture protocols that were used on two detainees very specifically, and in general, just about all the detainees. Some aspects of it were used on all the detainees. He's a clinical psychologist licensed in the state of New York. Unfortunately, the Board of Professional Discipline simply refused to investigate. And so we brought a case in New York State Supreme Court to have the court order the Office of Professional Discipline to open an investigation. And my argument was that a clinical psychologist who uses his psychological expertise, who's hired as a clinical psychologist for the client, which was the military, and is hired to do harm to individuals, is violating the ethical principles of New York psychology, the code that we are all beholden to, in such a way that he should be investigated and his license should be taken away from him if it turns out that, based on the investigation, that this allegation is true.
That was psychologist Stephen Reisner. Find more information on Reisner's torture case against Major John Lesso on our website at btlonline.org.